Lucky Land Slots, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Music Game with your host, Linda Chica, where we discuss all things music. So whether it's dance music to dance hall to soca to rap music, we got all genres covered. So welcome to my podcast, and it's time for some fun, yo.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Today's episode of The Music Game is presented by Podgo, providing podcasters with a flat rate for each ad placed, so you always know how much you're going to get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today and become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. Thank you, Podgo, for your sponsorship of The Music Game with your host, Linda Chica.
You're in the mix with DJ John Jack.
DJ John Jack.
Team Magnum.
Welcome to them. You know what we can do is represent Team Magnum. Team Magnum, what one?
Team Magnum.
Yo, oh, 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 oh. Welcome to them.
Hey, yo, John Jack.
Yo, oh, 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 oh. Welcome to them.
Good morning.
Team Magnum. Make the girl them. Gimme, this it, Matty, Ume, Vini, yeah. Saka, Fek,
Quicky, Quicky,
too much pressure,
Fimi, Ii,
girl, bring the bumper, gimme, this it, Matty, Ume, Vini, Saka, Fek,
Quicky, Quicky,
too much pressure,
Fimi,
Ii, yell me up,
the thing on fire,
now get up,
the thing on fire,
the thing on stand up,
the thing on fire, freaky girls, that we love,
yell me up,
Team Magnum on fire,
now get up,
Team Magnum on fire,
the thing on stand up,
Magnum on fire, freaky girls, that
Team
we love,
Magnum
just wanna party. Wanna be stress-free, so let's get freaky. You gonna get freaky. Team Magnum just wanna party. You gonna be stress-free. Now let's get freaky. We gonna get freaky. Team Magnum, you never seen a girl like this. How your bumper so thick like this? Every man want a piece like this. Like what? Excuse me, miss. Why your bumper so big so? Left to right, girl, you making it tango. Do your thing, you're better than Django. Team Magnum, one bite up your mango. Freaky bumper, gimme. Mati, Ume, Vini, Saka, Fek,
Quicky, Quicky,
too much pressure,
Fimi,
Yee, girl, bring the bumper, gimme, this is Mati, Ume, Vini, Saka, Fek,
Quicky, Quicky,
too much pressure, Fimi.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl and the Chica coming at you live and direct from the 6. On today's show, I'll be featuring one of Orlando's legendary club DJs. I am pleased to welcome Jonathan Prasad, DJ John Jack, to The Music Game, everyone.
How you guys doing?
Welcome, Jonathan. And before we begin, I would like to first start off by saying thank you for being a guest on my show. And I'm so excited for our listeners to get to know more about you and your awesome career so far. So welcome, my friend.
How you guys doing?
So far, so good. It's kind of cooling down here in Toronto. I'm sure it's still super hot in Orlando, right?
Early in the mornings, in the afternoon, it cools down.
Okay, so it's already starting then, the cool down process.
Yeah, it's already cooling down. It's the best time actually to go walk.
Yep, yep. Hey, that's true, because, you know, you still want to be able to be outdoors, even though we've kind of been this whole lockdown situation. So,
well, we actually opened back up last Monday, like nightclubs and stuff like that. They actually opened up.
Wow. Lucky and extremely jealous. That's all I'm saying. And with that being said, guys, let's start this. Let's do this. All right. You ready, Jonathan?
Yep.
All right. Now, tell us, how did you get into the music industry?
The music industry? Let's talk about how I got into just music, period.
Exactly. Perfect.
I moved down to Florida back in 2001.
Okay.
At the time, they used to have a website called Acid Planet. That's where we'd go get music from.
Oh, wow.
And they would also have other DJs on there, Caribbean DJs, West Indian DJs, and they would do remixes. So that's how I started. When I first moved down here, my parents literally moved us out here. We just came out here for vacation.
Okay.
And time to leave. And they're like, oh, you guys aren't leaving. You guys are going to stay. And that's how they sprung it on us that we were moving. So back in 2001.
From where?
I used to live in New York City.
Oh, wow.
To be exact.
Oh, wow. And he just went for vacation and just...
We just went for vacation and they just moved it down. We were young. So I was like,
wow.
15 time. It wasn't like a yay or nay for us.
Right. That's it.
So I lived with my grandparents for literally the whole school year.
And, okay.
It was super hot. We were going outside. It was crazy hot when we first moved out here. We moved out here in August, and it
wow.
was like crazy hot. And
yep.
we were not going outside. So we had to find something to do inside the house. So me and my older cousin, we figured out how to remix, I want to say, over
okay.
summer break.
Yeah.
So I literally started remixing, getting into the music industry that way. And then, yeah, the rest is future and history.
Okay. Now, what made you want to get into music?
It was just something that I just liked music at the time. I used to collect music, literally. We used to get those bootleg remixes, Hot 97 CDs,
yep.
you know, corner store CDs.
Yep.
We used to just save up and be like, you know, you listen to the person mixing those CDs and like, man, this is dope. And you just figure it out from there.
Okay. Very cool. Now, question for you. How did you come up with your name, John Jett?
It was given to me. This John Jett period was just given to me by a friend of mine when I first moved out here. We used to hang out in the porch, and mom used to come out and be like, oh, you guys are all leaving out in John Jett. And it stuck on me. Of course, my name is John.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, John Jett's right here.
Okay. And well, now it's your professional DJ name.
Literally, yes. Like, it's literally my only calling name, too.
Yeah.
Everybody, it's just, that's what people call me, John Jett. That's it. It's the DJ kind of came off after a while. I barely use the word DJ anymore. It's only just straight John Jett now.
It's true, because even when I was prepping for our interview, and I know you, and when I was looking at a couple things, you know, trying to like get some material for this component, that component, I actually was taken back. I'm like, hold up. Who's Jonathan? I even had to ask, like, wait, hold up. I know John Jett. I don't know who this Jonathan is, but you know, we'll roll with it. So, okay. And it just sort of stuck with you.
It just stuck. And then it's like, suddenly I wouldn't call myself a promoter. I call myself a DJ that does parties.
Right.
So literally the DJ just kind of fell off eventually. And it just became John Jett as a whole household name.
Okay. It's definitely something different that must be happening in Florida, because our DJs here in Toronto, the expectation on them is they're also promoters to sell the party.
Yeah.
So I guess it's different in Florida. That's not the expectation set on you guys.
I think when I was growing up as a DJ, like first starting out, that was my expectation, was to sell the party.
Like, right.
How many tickets could you sell? Now, becoming a promoter, I don't put that expectation on any of my DJs at all. I think it's my job to sell the party, and I think it's my job to sell the DJ's brand. So I'm selling, I have a party coming up, Licorice in October.
Yep.
Miami Carnival is not happening this year, but
right.
Orlando's open.
So right.
We welcome Dream Team from Miami, household name Miami.
Nice.
We saw them come out to my party, and we're bringing them out. It's not their job to sell my party. It's my job to sell Dream Team at my party.
It makes more sense, you know. I still don't understand how it's a DJ's responsibility when it's somebody's actual event. They should be the ones responsible for their event, not the people, individuals that are playing the event.
Mm-hmm.
So Toronto, listen up, guys. This is one thing that does really, you know, just being a club goer and a party goer and understanding the back end of how things work, it does sort of like rub me the wrong way that, you know, you have to sell tickets for your event when it's not even your event.
Yeah.
It's somebody else's vent. So.
But it does help, you know.
Oh, for sure. Time.
Oh, of course. If you have a DJ that does that period, you should charge them. Because there's a lot of DJs that don't do that period.
Well, that's exactly it. And I mean, offering to help is one thing. Hey, I have XYZ people coming, but setting it out as an expectation. Listen, I'm having an event and I expect you.
Nah, it should never be an expectation.
No. It shouldn't be an expectation.
If it's an expectation, there should be a reward with expectation.
Oh, absolutely. So. Yeah. Absolutely.
And a lot of promoters that I deal with when I was coming up, it was, okay, you expect this from me? Well, I would like a reward at the end.
Right.
So here's my reward, or this is what I want. And it always worked well. It's business is business at the end of the day.
That's exactly it. And this is strictly business. So Toronto DJs, kindly listen to this conversation and please don't tell me that you're getting no monetary reward because that is just not acceptable. So awesome. And now watched you play many different events, whether it was clubs, it was
private. Oh man, you've been to a lot.
Yeah.
You've been to a lot.
Tons of events.
You've been to at least a reggae event, a soul event, an Indian event. You've literally seen me play every genre.
Yeah, like literally. And what I've noticed about your mixing skills is you're universal. So you're not just labeled as a chutney DJ or a soca DJ. You're good with everything.
I play a little bit. Yeah, I
do. You do. Like you definitely do play. Like even though I did see a lot of soca events, a lot of Indian music.
I play
music,
a lot of soca.
You
play
do.
A lot of soca. That's my preferred genre all day.
Now, how did you learn to craft your skills so well?
Yeah, you know, I feel like I play different. I feel like I play like I listen to a lot of like Brooklyn DJs, island DJs. So I feel like I don't want to say I copy their skills. I just like mold my. It's different. It's like, but I also play like Jamaican parties. I play Indian parties, chutney parties, soca parties. It's different. I have to be able to play a little bit of everything. And, you know, you have to be diverse. It's super hard to be diverse because you have people with so much different music. It's like, oh God. It's like, I'm driving in the car today and I hear a Spanish song and I'm like, oh, what song is this? And my wife is like, oh, this shit is old. I'm like, oh, it sounds good. It sounds dope.
Yeah. And that is one of the challenges too.
Yeah, it is. But that's how I normally play music. It's like, I normally play stuff that I like to listen to. Not everyone listens to the same stuff. Like, I don't listen to hip-hop on the regular. So I won't play hip-hop at all. So, it's like that. But I listen to a lot of Afrobeats. I listen to a lot of reggae. I listen to a more reggae than anything, actually. I think I listen to reggae 80% of my day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I like reggae. I was like, it's just a lot more soothing. You know, it's different. It's world music. I call it world music. But soca is just different. Soca is like a totally different genre.
Right. It just makes you want to jump.
It makes you want to do everything. There's different songs from soca. Yeah. There's jumping music for soca. There's like that mellow, laid back, you know, that Lyman music.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they call it
groovy soca.
Yeah, it is groovy soca, but then they broke groovy soca down into like so many different kind of groovy soca. They have love music.
Oh my gosh.
You just gotta listen to it and you're like, oh, that is a love song, you know.
And the funny thing is, since I started doing these interviews, it was actually Problem Child who schooled me because growing up, all I knew was hip hop, rap music, and a little bit of dance. We didn't really have too much of anything else growing up in Toronto. I wasn't part of the whole West Indian scene, so I didn't know that there was chutney music and soca music and dance hall. And I'm like, now like a kid in a candy store at the club. Not even going to lie to nobody
That's like when I first moved out here. When I was in New York, I didn't know anything about Indian people because I only hung out with black, Italian,
okay.
people. And then I came out here and I'm like, where do all these brown people come from?
Yeah, but Queens is pretty diverse.
Yeah, but I never really left. Like, I didn't go to Liberty, you know. I didn't go to Liberty.
Oh,
I didn't do that stuff.
Hey.
Yeah, I used to play soft baseball for high school, stuff like that. That's what I do.
Okay, because I always think that New York, especially Queens, big up Richmond Hill, big up Jamaica Queens.
Every time.
That is West Indian Central.
Yeah, but I didn't get that. I didn't get the culture. I left before I got to really leave my house in New York.
Okay, because you were still younger.
I was still young when I left.
That's what it is. Okay, all right. Now, on that same tip of music, Is there one track that you know you can play that will just get the party started? What would that be?
It depends what party it is, really.
But you know what? Let's just say a soca party.
So if we're in a soca party, it depends what time it is. So if it's early, then we're doing Pump Me Up, no matter what.
Okay.
If it's middle of the party, I don't know, Spice It Up. There might be a couple Indian people in the corner. You play a little Lote La. You know,
Yeah.
And then end the party, you know, like hype up time, play like some Family, you know.
Yes.
Jumbo Jet, stuff like that.
All right. Definitely, you called some good tracks there. So, guys, he knows music, let me tell you. Again, on that same tip, I've watched you play all the genres. It was a New Year's party and you're jamming out to Babu and Kanchan. It's Miami, right? Miami Carnival.
I remember that one.
You're spinning soca at Mangoes. So you're always doing different events, different genres. What would you say is one of your favorites, aside from reggae? What else would you say is one of your favorite genres and why?
Afrobeat.
Okay, like and Afrobeat. Why?
It just sounds different. It sounds like reggae. It sounds like soca. It's just different. I don't know.
Right.
And it's very not distinctive. Like that. It's not like... Yeah, it's super distinctive. It's like, and it just came out of nowhere.
Right. It's true.
It literally just popped out of nowhere. Like, 1 year, literally just, I think it was 2016 maybe before that. It just popped out of nowhere. Like, what genre is this? What is Afrobeat?
Yeah.
Damn.
I thought it was a division of the whole soca family.
I don't know.
When I first heard it.
Yeah. It was dope though. I love Afrobeat. Afrobeat is dope. And then, R&B.
Okay,
So I don't play it. I don't play it, but I listen to it.
Interesting. Now, based on all of that, with reggae, Afrobeats, and R&B, you tend to like more of the calming, soothing type of mellow type of vibe.
Yeah. I feel that's what people like, too. Like, when you go to clubs, that's what they like. They don't like that jump-up soca 24/7.
Right.
So, it's kind of hard to beat them in the head with that 24/7 with it, but...
Well, you can only listen to that so much at the end of the day. You still want to have a bit of a mix. It's nice to have a bit of a blend. I mean, you want to be able to go grab a drink.
Yeah.
Do other stuff. Use the bathroom. Go have a smoke break. Do different things, whatever. Yeah. Nice to definitely be able to change it up. Typically, when you're playing at Rum Jungle, what is your DJ like selection set process?
It depends on the time you play. We don't always play the same set, so sometimes you play early. Mm-hmm. So normally when it's early, I like to play rockers. Nobody plays rockers anymore. I never hear Barris Hammonds and stuff like that in the club. So when I play early, I play Barris. I play Garnet Silk, you know, things like that. Bob Marley. So people come in, you know, they relax, you use the bathroom, find your spot, get your drink, you know, that's what you're playing. And then that's what I like to do. I like to play a lot of old school. I'm like old school when it comes to reggae. I collect a lot of 90s, things like that. And then Rum Jungle, one of the most dopest clubs to play in. Because literally it's something different every week. You literally will not hear the same music. The team is ridiculously awesome. We're like, I think it's like 6 or 7 of us. And it's like one of each DJ is from a different island. So it's literally a mix. It's a melting pot. At Rum Jungle.
Right. And guys, for those of you who do not know Rum Jungle, you guys know Linda is a clubaholic. She likes to party all over in the world. And quite honestly, Rum Jungle, I'm going to say it as is. Big up Ronnie. Rum Jungle, hands down, is one of the best clubs I've personally ever gone to. And it's because of that. They always have really amazing, amazing music. The environment, the atmosphere is always good times. It's not, you know, pretentious. Everyone's just there to have fun, and it's a vibe. That's the best way I can describe it. It's a freaking vibe. And
Firefighter 18,
right? Devious, you got Super Pudgy, you got Footworks, all these guys. You guys throw amazing jams, and big up to all of y'all. So definitely. I've watched you, again, play at tons of, you know, amazing events, whether it was clubs, private events, different types of events. What would you say are some of your favorite events and why?
My favorite event?
Yeah.
My favorite events are my events.
Okay. Done. Perfect.
Because it's missing. It's like I found I literally grew up in Orlando with club scenes, and I found what was missing. And I added those to my events. But some other events that in Orlando, my favorite events, Power Lines Cooler Fest, Orlando Carnival Friday.
Yep.
It's one of my favorite events. I look forward to that every year. This year we didn't have it.
Nope.
Let's see. Another good event is, Aurora. It's a breakfast early morning party. Carnival Saturday. It's amazing.
All in Orlando?
It's an Orlando Carnival weekend.
Okay.
It's called Aurora. Literally all inclusive. Bonnet, Guinness, Stag, literally name it. They're Shark and Bake, everything.
Nice.
And then they also have all inclusive at nighttime called Islands. That's a good party too.
Mm.
I like carnival parties. I like our carnival scene.
Yes.
A lot of people say it's kind of eh, but I think the party scene, carnival weekend, is amazing.
Well, number one, I was so looking forward to going to your event. It would have been my first Monday Mass Sings
Monday
event.
Monday Mass? Oh.
The Monday Mass party at Sings.
Oh, yeah.
That I was really looking forward to that because typically I usually fly up by Sunday, or sorry, by Monday morning. I've never been part of that event. And then there was something else that you were planning as well over that weekend. There was another event.
I can't remember. I only have the Monday Mass, though. I only take on one thing at a time.
Okay, so maybe it was just that one, but I was really looking forward to that, and you know, it would have been my first time checking that out because I heard things about it. These are definitely future goals. Fingers
next
told.
Next year,
crossed. Yes.
Next year, the club scene has changed though. Everything's so weird now.
Why? Why do you say so?
I don't know. Everyone's just like they don't look like they don't want to dance. You know. So it's like you're playing for just people standing around because they have to stand in their circle. You know, they're 6 feet.
You see, and that's the thing. Like, we don't even have the luxury of work. Like, it's against the law here in Toronto to dance or sing in public. So before I get myself in all kinds of trouble unknowingly, it's almost happened many locations. I've just been staying home because I like to sing and dance everywhere I go. So we're not even allowed to do that here in Toronto.
Wow. Like at all?
Nope. Only in your house.
What the?
Yeah. What
so
the
app
is exactly it? Clubs. We have no clubs.
Oh.
That's not even open. Crazy. No. We've actually taken a turn for the worst. We were doing really good with the whole COVID situation. And now that school's reopened, our numbers are the same that they were in May.
Wow.
So we're basically en route to lockdown again. So, it's been interesting, but
it's been an interesting couple months.
I think it's been an interesting year.
Yeah, it has.
Hey, it is what it is. Let's talk about some better things. Tell me about your amazing events that you throw.
Start off in February, and I call VSOP, Very Special Orlando People.
I never knew what it was, like the acronym for. I just thought it was something related to like Remy or Henny or...
No, well, it's Very Special OPAR. So Very Special Orlando People.
Hey!
I want everyone to get dressed up. Nobody dresses up and goes to the club anymore, so...
No.
Last year, I literally did a prom theme, so everyone came out dressed in prom. There's a video on my Instagram that you guys can look at after. Literally everyone dressed out as if they were going to prom. It was crazy, crazy dope event. And then after that, I actually do smaller events. I have another smaller event called Day Glow.
Okay.
A summer event once a month. Me and, my brother Sing Styles, we do that event together. Then I have another big event, Carnival Weekend, Carnival Monday called Monday Mass.
Yeah.
Me and Mr. iFit do that event together.
Yeah.
And those are like my signature events. That's what people know me for, those three events. And then I have other small events that, you know, pop up. I have an event coming up in October for Miami Carnival weekend. We're going to have Miami Carnival in Orlando. So
nice.
Yeah. So it's called Licorice. It's a food all-inclusive event and a cooler threat. So you bring your liquor and I will feed you food.
Jonathan, you're killing me right now. You know that, my friend, right?
Like, you can take that flight. Just take that flight.
Just, trust me, if I could take that flight, I would have been on that flight yesterday. But unfortunately, we have severe travel restrictions. They're only allowing emergency situations. I have no emergencies right now going to Florida. I mean, I could try to see what I can get away with, but they're going to know with my history, with all the stamps for passport, they're going to know it's for pleasure. So, yeah, you know, I wish you all the success with that event. That sounds awesome.
It's going to be really dope, people, and I can't wait.
What you just said about people don't really dress up anymore when they're going out, number one, they're saying that carnival events are mediocre at best. I think this whole pandemic situation happened because you're going to see, and mark my words on this, you're going to see more people in the future so much more appreciative for these types of events.
I think they would. I feel like people are picking and choosing when they go out now.
Right.
I feel like they're just not going to go out to everybody's events. Or,
no.
All right, it has to be worth it for me to go out. It got to be worth it for me to catch COVID. So.
Well, that's what it boils down to. Right now, I'm sorry. Wearing a mask, standing around in a club, ain't nobody can tell me that's normal.
It's not normal. I do it. I'm also 100 feet away from people, too, sometimes.
That's different. So, plus, you're also more of a laid-back type of dude. Some of us who be bouncing off the walls...
I'm literally in the club and in VIP in a corner.
Yep.
No bottle, just like by myself, just mingling.
Yeah. Whereas someone else, they like to be, you know, dancing on people and dancing with each other. And it's a totally different vibe that I think that it's like we almost had to lose everything for us to really appreciate everything that we've had. So let's see. We get the situation under wraps and next year it's all coming. Like, I cannot freaking wait for Orlando Carnival. Let me tell you.
Like, I think everything to get back to normal.
Oh, I think my soul was completely crushed. Not only canceling Orlando Carnival, but then having Miami. Like, it took me like about 2 or 3 months. Actually, I lied to you. I'm still not even over it.
When Miami said they were canceled, I was like,
yeah, that's when you know it's real. Oh. Julie has entered the building. Where is the one spot on the planet that you love to love playing events the most, and why?
New York. I just like playing New York. New York is different. It's just the way they play. Even the DJs are different. They all play music different.
Yep.
It's just dope. So, and then when you come down there with your little Florida style, it sounds different too. So they appreciate it more. Also, I feel like when you travel, I feel like even if you travel anywhere. And someone else hears you play, I feel like they appreciate you.
Right.
Especially if you're a good DJ. If you're not a good DJ, I don't know about that, but if you're a good DJ,
and
you sound good, you know, you can appreciate someone playing different.
A lot of people do say that they love playing in New York because it's a totally different vibe.
It's a totally different vibe. The people are different. Is. They know, I feel like they know music too. I feel like everyone should know music because music is so easy to obtain now. You know, they have all the streaming platforms, YouTube. And to this day, I still don't know why people don't know music. But
I hate to say it, as a musician myself, it's free online, guys.
Yeah, it's free. Online. Everything's
free.
Online.
We give it to you for free. Take the time to, like, really learn it because there's so much really good music out there if you take the time to learn it.
Well, and that's why people say clubs are mediocre, but it's... Clubs aren't mediocre because a lot of us know the music. I'm not going to go up there and play the music for you and you're going to look at me like I'm stupid.
Right. But one thing I do observe as well, out of all the different cities, Toronto, Orlando, the South, I find the New Yorkers, they know music.
Yeah, they appreciate it.
And they appreciate the music too. So really different than here in Toronto. Here, they just sort of jam out to the vibe. It's more of
I've never been to Toronto. I was supposed to come this year. I didn't come. But maybe next year.
Yeah, I think you were coming for a gym, like in the winter. Yeah. Right. Next year, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yep.
What would you say are the characteristics of groundbreaking music? Like, let's see. I'm going to use a Babla Kanchan song, for example. let's say Koi Nina. The first time you heard that song, you're like, whoa, oh, okay. I don't know what she's saying.
I don't know what she's saying, but it sounds good.
No, I have no clue what she's saying, but my head's bobbing.
That's how it is today, too. So it's like, yeah. Really, I'll find like a Saint Lucian song. It's just because of the beat, I'll download it. And right. Majority, 9 out of 10 times, it's because of the beat that I downloaded the song anyway.
Right. Okay.
That's how I just vibe out to music. It's literally, nobody really listens to the words anymore. How it sounds.
So you're saying, okay, so as long as it's got a really good beat, you're able to jam out to it. All right.
Yeah.
People have all sorts of different perceptions about DJs. And one of the questions that I'm trying to really understand is I'm giving you guys the opportunity to say a myth that exists amongst DJs. It could be something like they hire us, but then when we get there, they start trying to nickel and dime us. You know what I mean? That's not acceptable.
I feel like the myth is that people think that DJs should charge a certain amount. Like, oh, it's only this amount of hours. Yeah, but it's like, I guess you want to say I'm bougie when it comes to my bookings. Cause I'm super bougie. Like, I've been through it all.
True.
So, like, I've literally been to house parties. I don't DJ house parties at all. So if you call me for a house party, I won't play it. Because I've been to a house party and I've been trapped at a house party saying that I can't leave and I will never do house parties again because of that reason.
Yeah.
But it's like, I feel like they think that DJs should play for 6 hours past a certain amount of time, you know, and it should be for this amount.
Yeah.
Like, but it doesn't work like that. It's like, you know, you have a family at home. There's things like that that come into play.
Right. That's what they don't understand. They don't understand that this is a business. This is not, you're my friend and you're going to help me out. This is a business. You're my friend. So I'm asking you to play my event. That being said, this is a business.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, don't understand that. And then they'll say, oh, well, XYZ didn't play long enough. And then he was trying to nickel and dime me here. I'm just like, this is a business. This is their livelihood. This is their job. The same way that you have a job. You can't go into your job and do a half-assed mediocre job and then expect to be getting your full salary. It doesn't work like that. And then, people are like, okay, that does make sense. Once you've broken it down to like the lowest common denominator,
I break it down to people like, okay, if I came to your job and I said, hey, give me a discount,
right?
What would you do? You'd be like, no, because you can't, because you don't own the company, or you know, you can't, you don't make those rules like that. It's like the prices that we set. It's like it's to compensate for our time and someone else's time. You know, sometimes we have to hire another person to come with us. You know, sometimes we have to rent a truck. You know, you don't know what our circumstances are sometimes.
Right. And see, all of these costs, let's say 3 days before the event, they decide to add an additional 50 people. Well, you're going to need more speakers.
Oh. Yeah.
Speakers ain't free.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't fall from the sky. Like, someone has to have those costs built in. Yeah. And guys, if you're the consumer, you're the customer, you're the one who has to fit the bill. It's not the DJ's responsibility to be magically making these things appear for free.
And then you have that one uncle that tips over the speaker. Who pays for the speaker now?
And then, hachi done.
Yeah. It's like the speaker that you told me to bring, it's in a room and the people aren't in the room. And now it's by itself. And now uncle came and tipped over the speaker. Now it broke.
Well, you see, guys, these are the challenges that comes with the job. The whole purpose of this segment was to really make you guys understand, please don't nickel and dime our amazing West Indian DJs, guys. They have so much on their plates.
But some West Indian DJs nickel and dime themselves also, so by undercharging and things like that.
I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, and sometimes I just, like, I even call it out to them, like, what, you're not worth any more than that? Like, just a quick question. I'm like, I've known you for 20 years. I'm going to ask you that question. What, you're not worth more? Like, what is it? Oh, Linda, you know, no, don't oh, Linda me. I'm just protecting you, watching out for you. Because I have the ability to say to both everybody, I'm not going to just stand there and look cute. So, yeah, I've seen it happen. I find it happens a lot to the newer guys.
Yeah, like when I started out new, I don't even know what I was charging back then. Oh, no, I actually do. One of my friends actually called me the other day and they booked me for, well, I did their wedding. Mm-hmm. And now I'm doing their sister's wedding. And I gave them
a price
for their sister's wedding. And they're like, holy shit. He's like, I got you for a steal then. You got me.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but it's like, as time progresses, you know, years ago, I wasn't comfortable in front of a mic. So if you find a DJ that can mic, then you know you have to pay for that too.
Of course.
Yeah. That's what I try to tell people. It's like, okay, you could be a DJ and you don't know how to mic, but then there's another DJ that can mic. I'm going to pick the DJ that can mic.
Right.
You know, I'll rather pay the extra 50, you know, and he can mic. So
yeah.
I always tell DJs, it's like upcoming DJs, it's like you guys have to be worth something. It's like, okay, I just don't want a DJ that just plays music.
Right.
You have to be able to do everything.
That is kind of the expectation, especially for functions like weddings and birthday parties. You want to be interacting with the crowd. You're not just there to play music. You also want to interact with the crowd, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
if you have a DJ that knows how to interact with a crowd, that's an A+.
For sure. 1000%. On that same topic of knocking over speakers and broken speakers, aside from breaking speakers, Jonathan, tell us, what other struggles do DJs typically face?
Not getting paid in the night. I think that's one of the first.
That happens?
Yeah, it does happen, actually. I'm getting paid. And you go home, and they're like, oh, I got you. And then weeks go by, and you're just like, all right, whatever. It's not even worth it.
Shouldn't it be something that's done before you do the event?
It doesn't. Sometimes it works like that, sometimes it doesn't.
Why, though?
It depends what it is and how much it is, really. Mm.
So there's nothing to actually state or contracts or...
Well, yeah, you can do contracts. Like, but I guess it depends, because the majority of the time, who are you playing for? You're playing for your promoter friend, you know that. So are you going to give your friend a contract? So I think it comes down to the friend and business thing.
Yeah, but if your friend's going to turn around and screw you and not pay for your time, that's a big problem.
It does happen, but it does happen. I'm not going to lie.
I would never have thought that. Yeah. Wow.
You do run through some struggles coming up as a DJ.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's one, and just being abused, I guess.
How so?
Just like the whole ticket selling situation, like we were talking about earlier. That's
right.
One thing. It's like, okay, come, you can play for my event, but you have to sell this many tickets. And then at the end of the night, you didn't sell that many tickets. You get paid, but you know, they'll pull that on a young DJ, because it's been pulled on me. So I can say that.
I've heard these horror stories as well. And it's just, I just find it shocking that people can behave so unethically when they know that they, A, need you again in the future. It's not like you're going to magically vanish and disappear into thin air.
Like, I'm not going to see you.
You're not going to see the person in like the next 2-3 days. Like, you're not going to magically disappear. So I don't understand how people could be so unethical when it comes to this is a business situation.
I'm becoming a promoter now. Now I'm putting out the paychecks now. I feel like I'll pay everyone, you know, as long as I make it, you know, I'm paying everybody. I've been blessed that I haven't had to come out of my pocket yet, but I'm still, you know, I treat all my DJs like how I want to be treated too.
Right. Exactly. No, 1000%. What would you think, would you say, after doing so many shows over the years, what keeps you motivated staying in the music industry?
The music's changing.
Okay,
people's changing. Everything's evolving. So the club industry's evolving. What really keeps me in the club is like, I do a lot of flyers. So literally, I do a lot of flyers for a lot of promoters, things like that. So that's what keeps me in this industry, period. But it's the music, and it's just how people party, and you know, it's just really keeps me drives right now, or doing events, because it's just concepts. It's like, you know, I had this cool concept in my head. now I want to bring it to life. So that's what we do. That's what's driving
us. You're really good at what you do. And it's awesome that you still have this love and passion for the industry because it really shows in your work.
Yes, everyone says
so. No, 1000%. You put on such a really good show. The vibe, it's a vibe. You create this amazing vibe, which I will say it as is. A lot of DJs don't have those skills. They go do their set, and that's it. They're out.
Oh, some of them stand there. You ever seen the DJs just
stand there? I see them standing there with no headsets, and I'm like, what exactly are you doing, bro? I will ask you, what are you doing?
I wish I had that skill. That's a cool skill to have. No headphone skill? Just to have that
skill. I don't know what they're doing. I just know it's Serato DJ that's doing all the work. That's what I know. But hey now, as I was prepping for your segment, I came across some freaking amazing vlog videos. I just sat there and I was like mesmerized.
Oh, my vlogs on YouTube.
Fabulous,
cool, right?
Beyond freaking, like, this is, guys, for those of you listening right now, go on YouTube. Jonathan, what is your YouTube name?
The DJ John Jett.
Hey, you guys have to check out his vlogs. They're done so freaking good.
Yeah, I love doing video. That's like my side thing right there. That's like, I have the passion for it. I like doing, like, just taking videos, things like that. But it's just editing them. I don't have the time for it. So that's kind of why I fell off my vlog.
Okay. On that same tip, have you ever thought about a videographer, like actually doing music videos? Because these videos, so like, I don't want to sound like a stalker. I watched a couple of them like 10 times, especially when you were in Miami. I was like, yep, okay. I'm not born in Miami, so I'm here in Miami, guys. Have you thought about it? Because your work is exceptional.
No, I have not thought about that.
There's a lot of money in the music industry making videos.
Yeah, but I also like, I'm in, me and my wife, actually, we have a company called the Moxie Workshop. We
actually
do day of pieces, wedding invitations. So we're in that industry right there. I wouldn't mind getting into the wedding industry.
Yeah.
And like the whole, just like events, I wouldn't mind doing videography for events, you know, like later on when I stop DJing, that's maybe that's how I keep in to the industry just by doing videos because it's pretty cool. I just don't have the time for it right now. It's crazy. You'd say that, oh, during COVID, you would have so much time, but I didn't have any time during COVID.
Okay. You're really good at it.
They're and cool, right? Yeah.
Oh, they're exceptional. They're not cool. They're exceptional. The quality is just like, damn. Like, you really can tell you put your heart and soul in these segments. Mm-hmm. And I could see down the road, like, maybe, like, when you're doing your wedding stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe doing the videography for a wedding.
Yeah. You never know.
But it's interesting that you mentioned, like, when you're going to leave the industry. Because here in Toronto, we have DJs in their 60s who are still going strong.
Yeah. I think if I left, when I left the industry, when I do leave the industry, I think I would leave the industry for selective few. I just wouldn't take everything. You know, it'd be like, all right, oh, he's only playing at this event. Oh, he only plays with this person. That's how it would be. You know, it would be like
very selective.
Very selective. Yeah, I'd be very selective when I leave.
Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. There's the good, the bad, the ugly, but especially keeping current with the music, all the extremely late nights.
I feel that's where a lot of the older DJs lie.
Yeah.
Staying current with the music. Because you can't. It's really hard. It's like if you have a child, if you have two child, three, you know, it's kind of hard. You really have to put in that time. And if you have a regular day job, it's hard too.
That's exactly
it. I big up all those DJs that are still doing it because I don't know how you guys do it.
Mind you, I didn't say they were successfully doing it.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know.
They're still doing it though.
But that's true.
You can hear that things are lacking. They don't have the mixing skills.
Yeah.
I would say it's more than oomph. That, damn, is this really happening? That type of reaction. So, but you know, hey, kudos to you in your 60s still doing it. God bless you. I don't know how you do it, man. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of prep work. It's a lot of late nights.
Listening to music. Yeah, it is a lot of late nights. Late nights, early morning sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to wake up early. Juve's.
Yeah. That is one thing, guys, I have yet to still do. I still have not been able to wake up in time for any Juve ever on this planet.
You didn't wake up for Miami's Juve?
Not ever once in my life.
Oh, wow.
I've never done a Juve because I just can't be functional at like 4 o'clock in the morning unless I'm like finishing from the night. versus starting the night. Big difference. I'm functional for finishing the night. I don't know about starting the night at 4 o'clock in the morning. So that's not usually my thing, but I heard really good things about it, especially with powder and paint and all that fun stuff. But one day, with so many DJs out there lacking the mixing skills, this is so integral and like critical to run a Wicked set. It's not just, it's like, damn, that sounds freaking dope. Yeah. What is it that, you know, as a veteran in the game, what can you...
I don't call myself a veteran yet. I'm not a veteran yet.
I think you are, Jonathan. You're up there. You've been doing this for a long time.
I can't even remember. I lost count of years now.
It's got to be at least
it's past 15 10 years.
Yeah.
It's past 10.
If you're past the 10-year mark, you're up there. It's not like you just started in this industry.
Yeah.
And you can tell by your mixing skills and the way that you're able to work flawlessly with all genres. So what would you recommend for them to be doing to improve their skills, you know, as you have a really good skill set for mixing?
I tell all upcoming DJs in Orlando, especially, I was like, you guys need to come out to these events. And just listen. And just listen to other DJs play music in the club. You know, listen to mixtapes, listen to the radio. I tried not to tell people to listen to mixtapes because a lot of mixtapes are done on the computer.
Right.
You know, but I rather just listen to a live DJ. So I listen to a lot of radio. I listen to a lot of, like, live radio.
Mm-hmm.
Live DJs playing music. Big on my Team Soca family. Mm-hmm. And then I tell them, just come out. Like, you guys just need to come out and just listen to how club DJs play. There's a difference between a club DJ and a private DJ.
Right.
There's a total difference. Because a private DJ, you can't pull a private DJ out of his wedding scene and put him into a club. Because he will not play the same.
Right.
At all. He will get stuck. And I will tell you that for sure. I consider myself as a club DJ, not a private DJ.
Right.
So you pull some club DJs and you bring them into your wedding. And your weddings are phenomenal. Your weddings are like so crazy and so much fun.
For sure.
Yeah. But I tell all upcoming DJs, you guys need to just get out there and listen to DJs play. Don't be so quick to, you know, am I going to get, how much you're paying me, kind of things like that. You know, just go out there and listen to these events. You know, even if you got to come out and play early. I used to do it when I started coming up. I was playing up. I was coming early, playing early. You know, bathroom break, let me play for a couple. You know, I was doing that. Just find a DJ that you can, like, really blend with, you know, and mix with and chill with and just, like, stick to him and just learn. You know.
Okay. Excellent advice. What social media platforms are crucial for DJs nowadays?
I guess it depends on your format of what you post. Whatever you're posting. Your content. Not all content looks the same on social media. I'll tell you that. As a graphic designer, it doesn't. I have everything. But I just kind of stuck to my Instagram. I like my Instagram. I just like, it works for me. I still use my Facebook to just update people. I keep that as an update. And then I also have my personal page that I use.
Mm-hmm.
I tried the Twitter. I wasn't really fond of it. I just don't get it.
It's kind of useless. It's big, but it's kind of useless.
Yeah, I feel like that's how I feel. I don't know. I feel like people just like, I don't know. I don't know what it's for. Really for. I really don't know what to use it for. And then I feel like when it comes to posting music, I feel like YouTube and SoundCloud.
Yep.
And then if you want to get fancy, you know, you link it up with your Apple Podcasts and stuff like that. I have all that, literally, so you can just look me up. I'm on everything. That's what I said I wanted to do. Because you never know. Someone might not use Facebook. They only use Instagram.
Right.
You know, they might not use Facebook or Instagram, they only use Twitter. So it's good to have everything, but maybe not put everything on everything, you know. Just like the crucial things that need to be posted on them. You know, you got a new mix, post it on every single social media. But if you walk your dog, just post it on your Facebook.
Right. No, for sure. I get it what you're saying. And your Instagram is really well done.
Yeah.
You can tell that you take your time and you put things together, piece things together.
Yeah, I felt like there was a point when I was doing back my social media and, you know, promoters would say, post my flyer. I'm like, this is my Facebook. This is my Instagram. Why do I need to post your flyer on my Instagram?
Right.
You know? So I started making my social medias more about me, you know, where I play, things like that. Because people don't follow you to see you post a flyer 24/7. They try to see your family, you know, things you do.
Right.
So I try to make it a little more personal about me. I don't, you know, I don't post flyers 24/7. I post pictures of my daughter or family.
Yep.
That's what they really like to see, you know.
Yep.
And then I use my stories or I use my Snapchat to post flyers. Yeah, I think that's what that's for. So it depends how you use your social medias. That's what I tell you.
And you touched upon something really important right there, especially that human connection, you and your family interacting and all that stuff. Aside from just the party stuff, that's what people want to see.
That's what people want to see.
Of course.
And that's why they follow you. That's why I follow people. I want to see.
Yeah.
I don't want to see your naked ass all day, but I want to see.
Hope not. Yeah.
I
want to
see
what
you and your kids did today, too.
Of course. Back on the same social media topic, just to recap, our listeners can connect with you on SoundCloud,
YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, everything. Literally at DJ John Jett.
Guys, you heard it. At DJ John Jett. Yeah.
Yeah, or you can go to my website, www.djjohnjett.com.
All right. And now, lastly, what message do you have for your fans and our listeners listening today?
The message that I've been living by since COVID started is just take things light. Don't take them so they don't take shit so serious. You know, you never know what shit might happen. You wake up one morning and bam, the whole city's locked down.
Yeah. Real talks.
Yeah. So I say right now, that's what I wake up every morning and I just, you know, thank God for life, you know.
Yeah.
Shit. It can be a lot worse out there.
A billion times worse. You guys got hit really freaking hard in Orlando.
I feel like we got hit, I think, March. Yeah, March. Because I still made it out. But it was, you know, I feel like everyone had COVID at one point.
Wow.
it's really hard. It's kind of sad to say that, but I feel like everybody did because we were told about it so late.
Yeah.
And it's been out there. But, you know, that's a whole different topic right there, too.
That's a topic we can debate till, like, for, like, a year, honestly. All those theories, but...
But I had my test. Did you get a test? Did you have even tested?
No.
Oh, man, I had one the other day, and it was terrible.
Ooh, no. Have you been in contact with anyone with COVID?
No, I haven't. Since I've been out, you know, I've been out to clubs a couple times already.
Right.
And, no, I haven't... Even anyone I know, I don't know anyone that has had it. Yeah, you know, thank God.
Yeah, seen a lot of people dying from it, though.
Yes, I do, but I don't know anyone that has died from it yet, so.
Okay, since the whole thing started, everyone knows I got laid off, and I've just been doing other stuff. I barely go outside, I mean.
Good to see everyone doing good, though, because, you know, you see all these... See all these pop-up businesses.
Yeah.
You know, these little, you know, everybody's out there doing something with their time at least. You know, they're not just sitting in the house.
Yes.
A lot of my friends have popped up with, you know, they're cooking. They like to cook.
Yeah.
They started cooking for people.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to see a lot of, well, there are a couple people, you know, starting businesses, you know, the clothing line, like, random things, you know, just doing stuff with their time. It's good to see that.
And, you know, the one thing that's really interesting about this whole negative situation is seeing the positivity that's coming out of it, giving you the opportunity to try something totally different. And
I feel like it gave you the opportunity to do something that you wanted to do with your time. Like, a lot of people complain, oh, I don't have the time to start a business. But, you know, you had the time. And a lot of people used that time wisely.
Mm-hmm.
And some people didn't, you know.
I still contend that COVID was probably the best thing to happen to me. I started a music career. I started this music game podcast and launched my own business as well, Six Fives Media, you know, and it wasn't that I didn't have the time before. I just never even thought of anything of in the music world whatsoever. I was just always the girl who enjoyed the club and enjoyed the jams, loved party, and that's about it. So
you might as well get paid doing it.
Right? Amen, brother. Now, any other events that you want our listeners to know about?
No, just Licorice, October 10th.
Okay.
In Orlando, Florida. It's a yep. all-inclusive party. You bring the liquor, I'll feed you.
That is so dope, man. And the last cooler fet I've been to was at Powerline.
We got Powerline. We got Dougla always doing it. He has a juve, yes. actually, that morning.
Yes.
Doing a juve. So you guys look out for that.
Okay. And then next year. So.
Next year, Orlando Carnival.
Yep.
That is Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So on Memorial Day, we will be doing Monday Mass.
Mm-hmm.
The venue is already booked and secured. So, goodness to iFet.
Okay. Are you doing it again at Sings?
Nope. It'll actually be in Thornton Park in Orlando.
Okay.
It's a little district.
Thornton Park. Okay. So it's already been booked. So fingers crossed that...
Fingers crossed that we're still going.
Hopefully soon we can get our lives back. And
yeah, just wash your hands.
Guys, you're listening. Wash your hands. Keep disinfecting. Wear your mask. Practicing all the different guidelines for social distancing. Yes. All of it has to be done.
And if you're listening and you can go out, wear your mask and wash your hands. Buy your section. I think sections are a big thing right now.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone should just buy your sections. You know, if clubs are offering sections, you and your friends chip in, buy your section, keep you guys safe distances.
Oh, okay. So they're basically like portioning off the entire club and you're...
Yeah. That's how Run Jungle's actually... Yeah, that's how Run Jungle's doing it. We're sectioning off the club. So you're in your little section.
Oh, wow. So this is like a next level VIP section, basically.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's a whole new thing. I think that's where clubs are going now.
It works! Because I'm just actually envisioning it, how it's going, and that actually does work. Because you are staying away from others.
Yeah.
Even though it does still take away from the experience, though.
It does. That's where it takes away from, because there is no dancing experience no more.
That's the thing. Okay.
There's no more going out to meet your next baby father.
Guys, if you're looking for the hookups, this is not happening anymore. That was a thing of the past. So whoever got to enjoy it in their 90s and the 2000s and everything, good for you, because that is probably stuff that we'll be talking about as things of the past.
Yeah, now you got to find them somewhere else.
And anything else you want our listeners to know, Jonathan?
Not really.
All right. Well,
I think you covered everything. This is dope. This is dope.
Okay.
Really enjoyed this.
Thank you. Being a guest on my show today, but your personality, so lively. Always do an amazing job with your events. And honestly, guys, I'm going to say it again as is. I've been to so many of Jonathan's events. I am not being biased. I'm telling you as is. He knows how to throw down really amazing events. I wish I was at the VSOP one. VSOP one?
Oh, yeah.
The prom. Like, I mean, that is something. I love the whole glitz and glam type thing. And that's one thing I do miss seeing when going out, because even though it's a fancy event, people just don't care to dress up anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. Like, where is the disconnect? Where did we lose that? How can we bring that back?
I have no idea how to bring it back. The best way to bring it back is dress code.
Which we don't even see anymore.
Yeah. I feel like it's dress code and higher price parties.
Yeah.
I feel like you have to pay for that. Like, all right, if I'm paying $60 to come out to a party, I'm going to dress up nice. I'm not wearing no bougie ass clothes. You know, I pay $60 to come. So I'm going to dress up
nice. Ain't nobody going to be coming here looking like no scrub. We're going to be.
Yeah, but you
no, seriously, real talks.
Yeah, but if you did pay for a $10 party or a $20 party, what are you wearing? I'm wearing jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah, I'm throwing on the kicks and I'm wearing leggings. Be ready to party.
Yeah, that's what the promoter established. He established this is a cheap party, so y'all just wear y'all's Walmart clothes and come.
TJ Maxx. All right. Yeah. Well, this is something that I'm hoping that will sort of change for the future. It was exciting getting all dressed up. Looking your best, going out, not looking like you just crawled out of bed.
Yeah, I used to look at pictures of my mom when they used to go to the club back in the day. I'm talking about Club of Paradise days.
Wow.
And I used to look at their pictures. I'm like, oh, yeah, I used to dress up and go out to the club.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to knock that, because in New York, they all dress. I feel like New Yorkers, they just do that regardless. They dress
up to the club. I feel like it might be more of a Florida situation, because it's so laid back in Florida.
Maybe. Could be.
Because sometimes, even when I'm at the events, I look at what others are wearing, and I'm like, where am I going exactly? Like, no, real talk. Sometimes, you know, like, my cousins will say to me, big up Dave Singh, Linda, like, you ain't in Canada right now, girl. You don't need all these bling bling and zing zings. You know, it's more of like a laid back type of vibe. But I'm like, bro, listen, we the North.
This is what I got. Like,
this is all I come with. I don't really have that, Walmart.
Put me on stage. Put me on stage.
Ain't nobody going to be rocking no, what's this thing called? Walmart brands or what else you guys got? TJ Maxx or Target?
No, Target.
This is no Target. No. So I totally understand what you're saying. Well, guys, that's it for today's show. I would like to say thank you, Jonathan. Again, you were such an awesome guest. I had such a blast with you. And guys, I hope you really listened to what he said about don't nickel and dime our DJs. And DJs, don't let people nickel and dime you, because these problems are not just a Florida issue. It happens everywhere. Man. This is a problem in the industry. So that's why I like touch upon these hot button topic, because I want somebody to come back at me and say, hey, I heard what you said. You know what? Wait, you guys are right. I am worth something. Yes, you are. You are priceless, guys. You guys are doing a badass job. And you got to be paid for what you're worth. I'm sorry, as is. I'd like to say thank you to all my listeners for tuning in, guys. Again, hopefully you'll be tuning in next week. Got another amazing guest coming up. You don't want to miss it. Once again, Jonathan, thank you. And we're out.
Thank you.
That's the wrap. Thank you, Jonathan.
No problem, Linda.
Today's episode of The Music Game is presented by Podgo, providing podcasters with a flat rate for each ad placed, so you always know how much you're going to get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today and become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. Thank you, Podgo, for your sponsorship of The Music Game with your host, Linda Chica. Make sure to tune in again next week for another exciting episode of The Music Game with your host, Linda Chica. And that's a wrap, yo.